Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Friends Like These department here at Car Talk Plaza. I have no idea what that means.
Well, I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
Are you tired of all those mushy friendship poems that always sound good but never actually come close to reality? Well, here is a friendship poem that really speaks to the true friendship and truth itself. This is from Leonard Gilbert from Cyberspace. And I had to clean it up a little bit.
Okay.
Friend, when you are sad, I will get you drunk and help you plot revenge against that sorry SOB who made you sad. When you are blue, I'll try to dislodge whatever stuck in your throat. When you are worried, I will tell you horrible stories about how much worse it could be and that you should quit whining. When you are sick, stay away from me until you're well again. I don't want what you have. I pledge this to you. Why? Because you are my friend. And I know that wasn't all that great, but the P.S. is worth it. P.S. Okay. A friend will help you move. A really good friend will help you move a body.
That's true.
That is true. That's the test.
Well, if you
Uncle Nunzio is a good friend.
Indeed. Always ready.
Always ready.
Well, if you need help moving something, we'll give you Doug Berman's home number. But if you have a question about your car, call this number, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
This is Zoe Brady from Eugene, Oregon.
Zoe, from Eugene.
Yes, that's right.
Got it.
Well, I have a little car problem. I have a...
Wait, a little problem or a problem with a little car?
It's both, actually.
Both.
I have a little car and it has a little problem.
Cool.
I have a 1989 Acura Integra LS. It's a two-door, five-speed. It's a great car, except when you're in first gear or in reverse and you're going slowly, like out of in a parking lot or just haven't gotten up a lot of speed.
It lurches like crazy.
Yes, it lurches.
Well, thanks for calling, Zoe.
Thanks a lot. It was helpful.
Guess the question. Welcome to Guess the Question.
You know, that's a lot harder to do than to give the answer.
Of course. I mean, anyone can give an answer, but to figure out the question.
That was great. Now, I don't think it's causing any car trouble. It's just that it's embarrassing.
And it's always done this, hasn't it?
Always, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing's wrong.
Nothing is wrong.
Well, nothing is necessarily wrong. However... it could be that your clutch is chattering, and it may be time for a clutch. It may be the way you drive, too.
I assume that it does that even when you have your foot completely off the clutch.
Yes.
Then it ain't chattering.
Huh.
Might be just dawdling.
No,
I think there's nothing wrong, Zoe.
Well, has it increased in severity?
No. It's always about the same.
Yeah.
And it'll go away if you go faster.
I'll tell you, there are some cars which do this. I've never noticed, and we've worked on a lot of Integras over the years,
mm-hmm.
that Integras necessarily do this. The worst offender in my book, without question, is a Saab.
Ooh.
Never driven a Saab that I was satisfied with in first gear, except for the automatics. They're great.
Well, I have to say that, I mean, almost all cars will do this to some extent. And... frankly, I have no idea why.
No.
I'm picturing myself being reverse gear. And there I am laying there in the transmission and power is coming to me from the front shaft. And I'm trying to figure out what do I feel like? You see, I've taken a lot of these EST courses. And it must be a surge of power, right?
Right.
Coming to the gear and why would it do that?
Why?
Well, because...
I mean, the shaft is spinning at a constant speed.
It isn't. I mean, it is spinning at a constant speed, but maybe the engine isn't powerful enough.
Ah.
That may have something to do
so
with it.
So you think that would explain it.
Huh.
And therefore, cars with big, powerful engines would do this less.
Yeah, that's...
Except we can't test this theory because cars with big, powerful engines have automatic transmissions.
Oh.
Well, except for trucks, for example.
Except for trucks.
Right.
Yeah.
So trucks shouldn't do this.
Yeah, but they do because they're what? Heavier.
Heavier.
So I might have to do with the critical horsepower
to weight ratio.
I'm sure you've taken this to your mechanic over the last.
No, I was too embarrassed because, you know, I just felt like it's the kind of problem that I couldn't get them to recreate, and then they would all laugh, and
yeah,
that would cost me $50.
Well, one of the things that can cause this is incorrect ignition timing. So at the very least, you should have your mechanic check that.
The timing. Okay.
And if that isn't it, just ignore it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. So
what should I say to those people who think I'm a bad driver?
Say they all do that.
They all do that. I'll just make a sign and put it in the window.
There you go. See you, Zoe.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for your call.
I mean, it's only shows on NPR where people can bring up critical issues such as this.
Indeed. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Good day, gentlemen. It's Wendell from Memphis.
Hi, Wendell.
Hi. I have quite a problem here, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
Okay, I have a 93 Bronco, full size, customized, raised to the skies.
So how high off the ground is it?
You got those 8-foot tires?
Yeah, you got it. It's the dream truck. I take it to the mountains in Arkansas. I drive it back home, park it in the driveway, and mind you, this is seconds after I get home. I hear a rumble. I turn around. The truck is engulfed in flames. Fire is shooting from the front window. My neighbors are, both doctors, yelling at me to run for my life. The side window blows out. By the time the Memphis Fire Department gets here, the truck is destroyed. Now, what happened?
The fire was in the passenger compartment.
Inside. It was inside the truck and blew the windows out.
Cool.
No, it wasn't cool. It's scary.
No, hot.
Yes, very. And very destructive.
So did anyone do any kind of post-disaster investigation?
It's underway now, I might add.
It is.
Yes, and they're trying to reach a conclusion.
Right, okay, because the insurance company is going to have to pony up, right?
Yes.
And they want to make sure that you didn't set the fire.
He laughs.
Exactly.
Like it would be the first time.
Right.
You don't smoke or anything. Like, you don't have a cigar burning on the seat or anything.
You drove back from Arkansas.
Right.
How far?
400 miles round trip.
Okay, but in this last trip it was half of that, so you drove 200 miles.
Yes, sir.
And you did it all in one shot.
That's right.
What did you have on? Heater, air conditioner, radio?
A heater. It had just turned cold here. So this was the first time to run the heater. There's another consideration.
Uh-huh. If it started in the passenger compartment, it almost has to be electrical in origin.
Okay.
Did anyone open the hood and look under the hood?
The thing was on fire.
I mean, after you had the second beer and talked about it with your neighbors. I can see you standing out there saying, oh, man, look at that mess. I mean, did you open the hood just to look or not?
The hood is non-existent. It's melted.
Ah, the hood is melted.
You got it.
Answer one last question. Was your wife cheering?
Perhaps the neighbors were.
The neighbors probably were.
Yeah,
perhaps the neighbors were.
Boy. Well, you may never find out.
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
No, they're not going to find out.
Forensic mechanics? He's got the forensic team out there
now? No, remember when Uncle Nunzio was in the car removal business? They never were able to pin anything on him.
Right.
I mean, I think the arson guys, they figure out where the fire started.
Right.
And you can tell by where the hottest place and what burned first and all that business.
Except when the thing is really, really burned to a crisp, like you say this thing is.
They may not
be able to tell anything, but they may, but it's going to be hard to point the finger. But, you know, it could have started from a gasoline leak.
Don't you watch court TV? Well, those guys can tell anything.
I know. It could have started from a fuel leak. For example, if it started from a fuel leak and the fuel caught fire while you were driving, okay, you wouldn't know it. And then the fire started to burn and melted the insulation off some wires, okay, in the vicinity of the firewall.
Right.
Okay, and those wires shorted out because their insulation was now melted. That, in turn, caused wires under the dash to get really hot, and their insulation melted, and it could start a secondary fire.
How long after you stopped did the fire take place?
It was a matter of not minutes, but seconds.
Seconds? You were pretty lucky.
I was very lucky.
Has your wife been in touch with the insurance company?
Why do you keep asking questions?
I think she might have bought a big policy on him. I was suspicious kind. You know, there are all kinds of reasons she could have been trying to get rid of you. But you know, fires can start in a lot of different ways.
But you know what's curious about it, though? That it reached such intensity so quickly.
Yeah,
that's very strange. It is not consistent with an electrical fire.
No, it's consistent.
Which would smolder.
Right.
It would take 20 minutes
right.
to get flames.
Well, it might have been burning while he was driving home. I suspect it was.
Really?
Wendell, you are one lucky devil.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go immediately to Las Vegas and bet on anything.
Well, here we go to Tunica, because there's tons of casinos right down the road.
That's good enough. Good luck. Maybe you'll win enough to buy yourself another truck.
It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Same here, sir.
Take care, Wendell. Bye-bye.
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 1-888-CAR-TALK. He is one lucky guy. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-228-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Katie from Norwalk, Ohio.
Katie from Norwalk, Ohio.
Yeah.
Is that near Niles?
No, not near Niles. It's right between Cleveland and Toledo.
Oh, you poor baby.
Sandusky, Cedar Point, the amusement park.
Between Cleveland and Toledo?
Right.
Near Sandusky, huh?
Yeah.
God almighty.
So what's going on, Katie?
I have a 82 Saab.
Yeah.
900 turbo.
Yeah.
I started up in the morning. It runs rough. It runs terrible.
Woof.
And I go to try and pull out of the garage, and I pop the clutch and everything.
Stalls.
And it stalls out.
Yeah.
Soon as heat registers on a temperature gauge, works fine.
Mm-hmm.
It screams. It's gorgeous. I love it. But in the meantime, I got to start it and get it going. And I don't have time.
Hire someone.
Hire someone?
Sure. What time do you leave every morning?
Hey, I got three kids to get out of here. And
listen.
Work by
no problem. You find some high school
kid. Old is the oldest kid?
My oldest kid? 12.
Perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
Oh, you're going to let him start the car?
We're going to let him learn to drive.
Andrew will be delighted that will solve
okay.
the problem.
Put Andrew on the phone.
Put Andrew on the phone. Okay.
No, you can explain the whole thing. Here's what you're going to get Andrew?
No, here's Andrew.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, Andrew.
Hi.
Do you want to learn how to drive?
Yep.
Well, you're not going to be driving far.
You're not going to be driving at all.
You're not even going to move the car. You're going to sit in there, and instead of going boom, 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 you're going to do it for real.
Right. Your mother is going to start the car every morning, and she's going to get out of the car, and you're going to get in the car, and you're going to hold your foot on the gas pedal for 15 minutes. Wear a gas mask.
Bring your breakfast with you.
Bring your breakfast.
Do your homework.
Bring your brother. Bring anything.
You up for this, Andrew, or what? He's gone.
No, he's there.
Either if Andrew doesn't want to do it, Katie,
we'll let Brett do it. Brett's 10.
A brick will do it.
Yeah, Brett can do it. Of course, I don't know if his feet can reach the clutch.
Not
but...
Brett, a brick.
Okay.
You put a brick on the gas pedal, and that will do it.
No, you got to get it fixed.
Ah, forget about it. It isn't worth it. It's an 82 Saab story.
Oh.
No, you have to get.
It's only got 135,000 on it.
Oh.
Just broke in.
Yeah.
You haven't had it. You haven't had it tuned up in the last decade or so, have you?
Tuned up.
Tuned up? Who's that?
Yeah, no, it's been tuned up. I replaced 40,000 on it. It was tuned up.
At 40,000?
At 40,000.
But you got 100 on it now.
100, so I have to have it.
140. You mean you've gone 100,000 miles without tuning it up? What the hell do you expect, you cheapskate?
Who's a cheapskate?
You are.
I am not.
You can't go 100,000 miles without tuning up a car. Come on.
Well,
I know you've been busy having kids. But you got to bring the car in to get tuned up once every, like, 40,000, 50,000.
Take it in. You take it in to get it tuned up.
Take
it in and get it tuned up.
Yeah, you take
drive
it in.
Drive it in to get it tuned up.
Well, actually, you've proven, Katie, that you can go 100,000 miles without getting the car
tuned
up.
She's proven you can go 95,000. See,
right.
She can't make the last five.
No, something as simple as a fuel filter will probably fix this. What's happening is the fuel is not getting to the injectors because the filter's all plugged up. And that's why stalls.
No. Why does it get unplugged after 20 minutes?
Because the demand for fuel.
He's going to come up with some cock and bull story on this one.
Let me explain you.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reason it runs well after it warms up
good.
Is because
it runs good.
It runs good. Good enough. is that once the thing has warmed up, it doesn't need as much fuel because the thing runs more efficiently, and it'll burn a small amount, an inadequate amount of fuel, and the car will go. It needs a greater amount of fuel when the engine is in the warm-up mode and it isn't getting it because the injectors are plugged up with dirt because you haven't changed the fuel filter. Change the filter, put new plugs in it, and this car will run lousy.
This will run as good as a Volvo.
No, it won't. It'll run better than a Volvo.
No, it'll run lousy, but...
Tune it up, you cheapo!
Well, my other one's a Volvo wagon.
Ah!
That's the new one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the new one, but I prefer driving the Saab in the morning.
Yeah, well, maybe this is a message to you to drive the Volvo in the morning and leave the Saab for Andrew.
Yeah, let the kids learn to drive on this thing.
Plant strawberries in it.
Oh.
Tune it up, really. It needs to tune up badly.
Okay.
Yeah, when that doesn't work, then they can replace the auxiliary air slide and a few other things, and that might get it to run.
Yeah, but no one's going to know what's wrong with it unless it starts out being tuned up.
Oh, the only thing these people around here are used to working on, though, is tractors.
Well, how do you want? You live in between Cleveland and Toledo. I mean, what could be worse? Living in one of those places is the worst thing in the world. You live in between the two of them.
Between, exactly between the two of them.
Oof! Yeah, good luck to you, Katie. You've earned your place in heaven.
See you later.
Okay. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Two Swedish cars and living between Cleveland and Toledo.
Sonia, Henny's tutu, huh? All right, so last week, you promised me you were definitely going to remember the puzzler.
I did, huh? I don't even remember telling you that.
You're hopeless, man. The puzzler had to do with boarding an airplane. Does it ring any bells?
Ah!
And we'll be back with the answer and more of your calls in just a minute, so don't go anywhere.
Where would they go?
Let's roll it nice and easy down the miracle mile. The wind is cool and breezy. Now we're cruising in style. I asked you along despite my multitudinous fears. To my car and down, strip no gears. Be good to my car and down, strip no gears.
And even though tear-shaped boulders run down the faces on Mount Rushmore whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and this message come from NPR sponsor Traditional Medicinals. Traditional Medicinals is the herbal tea company that lives up to its name, Traditional, because of the formulas based on herbal traditions that have supported health and wellness for centuries, and Medicinal because of the ethically sourced, high-quality herbs like the slippery elm and echinacea in their soothing throat coat teas for those colder months. Use promo code CARTALK for 20% off at checkout, powered by Traditional Medicinals.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Walton Family Foundation, where opportunity takes root. More information is available at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
Saturday morning, your week was long, your time is precious, but why not take 10 minutes to catch up on some of the biggest news stories with Up First, NPR's morning news podcast. I'm Scott Simon.
And I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro, Up First, here weekday mornings, and now every Saturday at 8 Eastern 2.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And
yeah.
The statement of the puzzle is pretty simple. You ready?
It's very good. It's very good.
Now that you remember it, it's very good.
I remember
it. 5 minutes ago.
No, I did remember it.
You're lying.
I just didn't want to say anything.
Anyway, here it is. You're one of 100 people standing in line to get onto an airplane that has 100 seats. Now, you know the thing is made up right off the bat because normally there'd be like 120 people waiting in line to get on a plane with 100 seats. Anyway, in this fantasy paradise, there's a seat for every person in line, and each person has a boarding pass with an assigned seat, as you'd expect.
That's the usual way.
The first person who walks onto the plane drops his boarding pass. Instead of picking it up, he decides, I'm just going to sit any place, and he takes a seat at random. Now, every other passenger, and we'll assume they get on one at a time, will take either his or her assigned seat, because everyone else has his or her boarding pass, or if that seat is taken, that passenger will take any seat at random. Now, because you are such a kind, generous, and accommodating person, you're the last passenger to walk onto the plane. And obviously, when you do that, there's going to be one seat left. because everyone else is sitting in his correct seat or not, but all the other seats are taken.
Yeah.
The question is, what are the chances that you get to sit in your assigned seat?
And I, this was multiple choice, as I recall.
I made it multiple choice. And I, the following answers are A, 1 out of 2, B, 1 out of 10, C, 2 out of 50, D, which happens to be 1 out of 25, by the way, for those of you who are counting, D, 1 out of 100, and E, 0.
And the E is sort of like snowball's chance.
Well, the E is like, yeah, you're never going to get your seat. Now, our guy, the guy with the lost boarding pass, he boards the plane, and he could, by dumb luck, wind up in his assigned seat, right?
Could.
In which case, each subsequent passenger, including me, if I'm the last person,
we'll get the
must
right
wind
seat.
Up in his or her assigned seat. That's pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
But what's more likely is that he takes someone else's seat.
Sure.
Right?
It's much more likely.
And now here's the counterintuitive part. There are only two seats that count, my seat and his seat.
Yeah.
All the other seats don't make a difference. Whoever gets on the plane subsequent to him, to that guy sitting down, the guy who's lost his boarding pass, those people are going to take some seat or another.
Yeah.
Nothing matters until either my seat gets taken or his seat gets taken. If my seat gets taken by some displaced passenger, then yeah. I have zero chance of getting my seat.
Correct.
You with me?
I'm with you.
If his seat gets taken, his originally assigned seat, and who's his? He's the guy who lost his boarding pass.
And he sat in some random seat.
If his seat gets taken by some displaced passenger, then every other passenger who walks onto the plane, including me,
will have his correct
will have his assigned seat.
Exactly right.
Okay?
Exactly.
And how often does that happen? One time out of two.
Exactly.
Half the time, my seat's going to get taken by some displaced passenger, and half the time, his seat is going to get taken.
So your chances are A, 1 out of 2.
50-50. Hard to believe.
It is hard to believe.
If you're the worrying type, you might say, geez, you know, the first guy gets on the plane, he takes the seat of the second guy who walks on the plane, so that person gets displaced. And let's say the worst case scenario is that he takes the seat of the next guy who gets on the plane. So every one of those passengers who gets on, who finds his seat taken, has a chance to take my seat.
Right.
But he also has a chance to take the seat of the guy who lost his boarding pass. And that's what makes the difference. Those chances are equal. And once his seat gets taken, you're guaranteed your seat.
Now, is this American Airlines or TWA?
Absolutely. Do we have a winner?
We do. The winner this week is Elliot Guzanski from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And for having his answer selected at random from the thousands of correct answers that we got, Elliot will win a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, where he can get, among other things, a distressed Car Talk t-shirt. And trust me, you will look distressed when you're wearing it, Elliot.
Well, we're going to have a brand new, I guess I'm going to have to call this historic, folkloric, and quasi-mathematical
those are the best
puzzler
kind,
coming
you know?
Up in the third half. Well, don't get your hopes up. Third half of the show today. So don't touch that dial, because if you do, you're going to get a shock. Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, you can call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-82-27-82-55.
And that comes out to be Car Talk?
Amazingly.
What
hello.
Are the chances of that?
You're on Car Talk.
My name is Al.
Hi, Al. What's up?
Well, my friend and I have this ongoing dispute.
Where are you from, Al?
I'm from Bensalem, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia.
Okay, we'll just say Philadelphia because that's easier.
Yeah, I forgot. I even narrowed it down. Pennsylvania, okay. East Coast.
East Coast.
East Coast, Philadelphia.
Yeah. East Coast.
Yeah. We have this ongoing dispute.
You and your friend.
About speed bumps.
Who's your friend?
My friend is a good friend of mine. He lives in Dallas, Texas.
What's his name?
His name is Ron.
Ron. I just want to get it straight. You got to know all the facts.
Okay. Ron and I, when we're together, we drive over at these speed bumps, and I drive in a way that I try to steer two wheels to a spot that misses it. Like my left front, my left rear was missed a speed bump, and my right front and right rear go over it, of course.
Right. Yeah. I love the question already.
Now he says when I do that, I'm doing damage to my car. That's
and you're better off hitting it square on. He
says. Square on. Now if. By doing this, I can slow down to 10 or 15 miles an hour, go over it, and I don't hear that horrible thud when I do it that way. When I hit it square on, I have to, first of all, almost stop, and then I hear this, even when I go slowly, I hear this thud sound. He says that I'm doing damage. He says the only way to do it is square on, and he said that's less injurious to the car.
In other words, you're sparing two wheels, the thrashing and the shock of the speed bumps, and he says you should encounter the speed bump with all four.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Now, I'll divulge to you my method, especially when I'm driving one of my brother's cars. You know, if you're caught in a, ever get caught in a rainstorm and you don't have your umbrella,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
You get out of the car to head to your house or the store or whatever, yeah. And what do?
You put a bag over your head.
No. No, that's what you do when you go on a date. What do you do? If you open the door and it's raining cats and dogs,
close the door again.
What's your reaction?
Stay in the car.
No, you have to get out of the car.
You have
to go to the bathroom. I don't know.
You put your coat over your head.
You don't have a coat.
You don't have a coat. You put
something. You don't put anything.
You run. You run.
You run.
You run.
You run.
Yeah.
Now, do you get any less wet by running?
You get more wet by running. Because the cross-sectional area that you're encountering is the integral of that cross-sectional area over time.
Ah.
So you get more wet by running.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but you're exposed for a shorter period of time. You don't get more wet by running. You get less wet by running.
It's the same.
Right, you're out less time.
You're out less time, of course.
Right, and the sooner you get to the house, the faster you can get dried off.
Exactly.
Okay, well, anyway,
What's that got to do with the
speed
bumps?
Well, that's my philosophy about speed bumps. You just slam on that gas pedal and get it over with faster. The shock absorbers the springs. I don't even know what hit them.
No, but by moving two tires on it and two tires off, am I doing any damage to the front end or to the...
You are absolutely right, Al. Ron is nuts.
Ah!
Right, and you should drive over speed bumps as slowly as possible not do what I do with my brother's car.
Truth,
it's fun to do that.
The truth is what wrecks cars is exactly this, driving over things like speed bumps or potholes.
That's why his dart is such a heap.
At high speeds. I mean, this really does wreck a car. You know, all the time you hear people say a car has got 60,000 miles on it, they say, but it's all highway miles.
Yep.
And that's true. All highway miles is much better than all city miles, where you got potholes and you're always whacking into things and you're starting and stopping. That really kills cars.
Yep.
And the truth of the matter is, first of all, you got to go slow when you go over the bumps at all.
Right.
And by not subjecting half the car to the bump, of course you're doing good.
Fantastic.
I'm
right.
I want to talk to Ron.
You won the bet, Al.
I mean, where is Ron? What is he thinking of? Does he think that
Ron.
The little lean that the car will have is going to cause damage? Come on. Now, if Ron had called, of course, we'd have been on his side.
No, don't say that. Oh, come on, guys.
No, you're right, Al.
You're right.
I feel vindicated.
Yeah, you win the prize, whatever it may have been.
Yeah, we got to go. We got Ron on hold.
See Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Drive slow.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julie from Minneapolis.
Julie from Minneapolis.
What's up?
Well, I got a small problem with a small car.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a 1982 Honda Civic, four-door.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I apply medium to heavy pressure on the brakes, I get a knocking sound on the right-hand side of the car. Now, I've had the brakes checked, and both mechanics said, no, there's nothing wrong with your brakes. We hear the sound, but we don't know what it is.
It's a repeated knocking, a tuk, 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 tuk.
Yeah, and it slows down as the car slows down.
Tuk, 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 tuk.
Kind of a...
sounds like a chicken ready to lay an egg.
He sounds like a chicken. It
he
sound
does,
like a chicken
right?
But that's the noise, right? Tuk, tuk, tuk,
no, it's more tuk. Of a knocking sound. Not like a chicken, no.
It's not a chicken. Will you get the chicken out of your mind?
I'm not doing my chicken. Well, I know what it is anyway.
Yeah?
There may be, to the untrained eye, there is nothing wrong with the brakes.
Yeah.
But I, Watson, will tell you.
Yes.
That there is something wrong with the brakes. And what's wrong is that you have a warped disc. And what you're hearing is you're actually hearing the pads moving. And if you're really sensitive, if you drive this at high speed, like 50 or 60, and on a very quiet, smooth road especially, and you step on the brake at that speed, you will feel the pedal pulsing underneath your foot.
Well, I've had warped disc before, and this doesn't sound...
Well, that's why this is so difficult to diagnose and so easy to misdiagnose.
Okay.
Mm.
That's what you have.
Mm.
How recently was the last brake work done on it?
It was done last... fall.
By these guys who say there's nothing wrong with it?
No, I just moved into Minneapolis from Wisconsin.
Oh.
mechanics did the
World
work.
Traveler.
Yeah. The Wisconsin mechanics did the last brake job. She's having brake jobs done all over the Midwest.
Well, you know.
That's pretty good.
No, I will stake my brother's reputation.
And isn't anything dangerous. I mean, if you wanted to forget about it, you could do that. And no, it will probably get worse.
She can't forget about it.
Because it's making you crazy.
It's gnawing at her. It's driving her insane.
Is it, Julie?
No, it's not driving me insane.
You've already
But it is annoying. But I wondered if it was safe. Especially with winter, well, we've already had a little dose of
that. It probably will never noticeably affect the braking distance.
Okay.
The only real problem is that it will make you crazy if you are of a mind to be made crazy by a knocking noise that sounds like a chicken.
Well, I don't tend to be in a mind to be
but,
made
and the
crazy
thing
by
is,
chicken.
Maybe you don't want to get it fixed. You might need the eggs.
Yeah, then I won't get hungry. I'm sure.
But don't worry about it. But if you do want to get rid of it, you need to have the discs machined. And if these guys you took it to have a lathe where they can machine the disc on the car, that'll fix it.
Okay.
All righty.
Sounds great. Thanks,
good luck.
Guys.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Daniel from Pleasant Hill, California.
Hi, Daniel. What's
Pleasant
up?
Pleasant Hill. You
Where is Pleasant Hill?
Pleasant Hill, it's near San Francisco.
Oh, okay. It's a pleasant-sounding name.
It is. I mean, even the way Daniel said it, Pleasant Hill.
Right.
Sounds relaxed.
Sounds relaxed, easy, as do you, Dan.
Thanks. We even have some hills.
I can
Pleasant
believe that.
Hill.
What can we do for you?
Well, I got a problem, and I'm hoping you're going to come out on my side. This is a little debate my wife and I are having, and it concerns our Honda CRX.
Mm.
Okay, so a friend needed a jump, and my wife said, don't give him a jump. If you do that, you'll break the alternator or something else. She says this has happened to her before, and I said that's absurd, and like a nice guy, I gave the guy a jump.
And
your car blew up.
Well, a couple days later, the car wouldn't start. So she takes it into a mechanic. She tells him the whole story. Yeah?
And yeah.
The mechanic says, lady, you're right. You need a new alternator. I
Ooh.
Said, whoa, I don't know about this.
Ooh.
So our question is, now that we have a new alternator, is it possible that you could do something to your car by giving someone a jump?
See, I've been looking to use this Latin expression for about 2 months now because someone sent it to me and I've now lost the source. But the Latin expression was post hoc ergo propter hoc. Right? And someone said, I'm sure you will find an opportunity to use this expression. And what it means is, since something happened after something else, we attribute it as the cause of the thing. Get it? Just
right.
Because it follows, therefore, it is the cause.
Right.
It sounds better. It does sound a lot better
it
in Latin.
It sounds much better in Latin. Post hoc ergo propter hoc.
Well, I got post
I like
hoc
that.
Is after this.
After this,
therefore,
because of this. I mean, literally, that's what it means.
Right.
And that I think we got one of those. Don't you?
No. I think you burned out the altar there, Daniel.
No, I don't
what,
think
what,
you
First
did.
Of all, we have to ask a few
Wait,
questions.
Did you give a jump start to, like, a semi?
No, this was just to another little Japanese car.
Yeah, well, that mechanic is full of hogwash.
Yeah, no, you can do that. Had you been giving a jump start to a car that had a much bigger engine than yours, then it's possible you could have put a strain on your alternator and burned it out.
Right, but if you're giving a jump start from a CRX to a Toyota or even to a medium-sized car, the likelihood that would cause your alternator to burn out is zero.
Well, could you damage any other? Like, could you burn out your battery?
I mean, you might, if assuming that you did it correctly, the answer is no.
Negative, negative, positive,
negative,
positive.
Negative, yeah, yeah. Negative.
Is that how you do it?
I've often wondered how you do that. And also, I mean, you had your engine running, and their engine obviously wasn't.
Right.
And you hooked it up, and as soon as the other car started, you pulled off the cables.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, that's life. I mean, cars have been jump-started that way since 1856, 20 years before the car was invented.
Right.
Well, you guys came through. That's
we did come through.
Open for.
And the mechanic who gave you, your wife, that advice was, I think, wrong and clearly conspiring against you. And maybe he's trying to, maybe he likes her. And he's trying to get you and she to have a fight because he wants you to break
you
up.
You are a troublemaker,
and,
Thomas.
And he's got his eye on her.
Listen, not to this, Daniel. Hang up.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Thanks a lot.
And
thanks
love her because she deserves it.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, look, it's time for us to take a brief little respite.
A respite? How civilized. Now we're going to have a repast during our respite?
Well, I'm going to pass something, but I don't think it would be very civilized to discuss it.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
My baby loves to drive my Chevrolet. She loves to drive my brand new Chevrolet. When I give her the keys, she don't hear a word I say. Miles when she gets behind the wheel, 'cause there's something about the way that my Chevy makes my baby feel. She's got a trunk load of moxie and she's loaded with sex appeal.
And even though the Brothers Grimm say, isn't that scaring little children whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
I'm Peter Sagal. Sure, you're enjoying this NPR podcast filled with important and useful information, but is it the most important and useful information? Like this.
The museum actually went and made a synthetic version of dinosaur breath.
It's Axe body spray, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Wait, don't tell me, from NPR. Listen now and share with your friends.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the...
Yes, is it strings? The matchsticks?
The new puzzle. No.
Coins? Mangoes?
What else? World War II? No.
Inky shadows.
No, here it is.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that New Year's Day follows Christmas Day by 1 week.
Yeah.
And this is something you can count on in planning your holidays.
You can. That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So if Christmas Eve were a Sunday, New Year's Eve would be a Sunday. Are you with me?
I'm with you. I've noticed it myself.
What is the most recent year in which Christmas Day and New Year's Day, fell on different days of the week?
Get out!
For example, like Christmas on a Monday and New Year's Day falling on a Saturday.
Or some such thing.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or a tape or two, a 48-inch stainless steel professional gas range with open-top burners, electric convection oven, and broiler, self-cleaning pyrolytic double ovens, and restaurant-style griddle. And if you can lift it, send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
our fair city,
Matt 02238, or, of course, as always, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. Right now, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Kathy from East Hampton, Connecticut.
Hi, Kathy.
Kathy, what's up?
Well, I know that most people call you about technical problems, mechanical problems about their car.
Philosophical problems, Kathy.
Well, this is psychological, not philosophical.
Okay, either way, we don't care. We can't spell either one anyway.
I'd like to know your insight into the psychology of men in cars.
Men and cars.
Now, I have a particular question, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would an ordinarily happy man, he's a happily married man, continue to carry in his wallet the photograph of his first car, a 52 Studebaker, which he bought in 1971?
Kathy.
Not me. I'm not in his wallet, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you may not look as good as that 52 Studebaker.
Yeah, now this opens up questions that good taste would not allow us to discuss.
But we'll discuss them anyway.
Oh, good.
So, first of all, let's look at the broad view here.
Broad view?
So to speak. Okay. It's obvious that men are all wrapped up somehow in cars. We know that men's masculinity is tied up in the cars that they drive. Okay, I give you for an example.
I can buy that, but if it's a Corvette, see, but it's a 52 Studebaker.
Well, there are men and there are men. Your husband might be a little on the wimp side. Well, he might be a little nerdy. Does he wear the shoes?
No, he's not a nerd.
No.
Does he have the pencil protector in his pocket?
No.
No.
He bought this car in 1971 for $100.
Yeah, 1971, he buys
$100. It's a clean yellow car with a midnight blue roof, a trunk that wouldn't quit.
Yeah.
We were in college.
Yeah. How about the back seat? Did it have a back seat?
Great.
Well, now, Kathy, you may be overlooking. There's more to this than meets the eye.
Wait a minute now. You just said we were in college?
Yes.
You knew him at the time?
Yes, I was, yeah.
You were his sweetie, well, shall we say?
Yeah.
When he bought this car?
Yes.
Were you his one?
I'm going to tell you, there's just one more point to this. He lost the car 9 months after he bought it.
Lost it? He just sort of lost it, and you say he's not a nerd. You lose a car? What do you mean he lost it?
He lost it in a flood, the flood of 72 that washed out Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God, we've got some serious things happening here.
But he didn't lose the picture, obviously.
No,
he had that one picture.
He doesn't have a picture of me in his wallet.
And he had all these unfulfilled desires, which he was never able to see come to fruition. And now he's lived all these years. I mean, all these years have gone by, and the man is...
So he bought this car in, like, 1970?
71.
About 1971.
71.
When he was 21.
Were you his one and only, then?
That's the question, isn't it?
I was his one and only, yes.
Well...
As far as I knew.
How sure are we of this?
Very sure.
Because, I
very,
mean, here's...
Very sure?
Yeah, I'm very sure.
Well, I mean, it's important because...
We're not.
Because, I mean, he has you, right?
He has you.
So if he wants to see you, he just turns around and there you are.
Actually, you know, though, he lost that car, like I said, in the flood, 1 week before we got married. So it's kind of like...
My God. This is going to take a lot of time. This is serious. I mean, see, if there were not some underlying motivation here, then since he can see you just by turning around because he has you, the only reason for holding on to a picture so long is because the picture might have some memories of things that he doesn't have immediate access to. That's why I'm questioning whether or not you truly were his one and only at the time. Because looking at the picture might be reminding him of something else. I think we better have him in the clinic.
In the clinic?
Yeah, we might have to have him come in for a weekend at the clinic.
Okay, he needs to go in for a weekend at the clinic. Okay.
Right.
Because I think there are some deep-seated obsessions and things going on here.
You know what, guys? Oh, he runs the clinic. That's what he does for a living.
Oh, he does? Oh, jeez.
No kidding.
How often does he look at this picture?
Psychiatric social worker.
Kathy, does he look at the picture all the time?
No, not all the time.
How often?
I mean, like when he's driving along, does he just suddenly stop and sigh and open his wallet and look at it?
No.
No.
The tears well up?
No.
No.
Usually at parties, he'll bring it out.
Yeah.
You know, and say, you know, this is...
Yeah, you haven't ever caught him sort of looking at it when he didn't know anyone was watching him?
No.
So we're not at that stage.
No, and it's not framed.
We're not at that stage yet.
No.
Okay, well, I would suggest you get him another one to replace it.
Where am I going to find a 52 Studebaker?
Oh, simple.
I'll tell you what, though. I bet he'd buy one in a minute. He loves
Of course he. Well, we don't know. See, that's the test. Oh, Kathy, you have put your finger right on it, so to speak, again.
I have.
You've got to find a 52 Studebaker. How do you do that? You go out and you buy Hemmings Motor News and you find someone. I mean,
you put an ad. You
place.
Put an ad in there.
Put an ad in.
Want 52 Studebaker?
Must have 52 Studebaker. Money, no object. See? And you go out and you find it, and you say, "Hun, what's his name?"
Dennis.
You say, "Dennis, honey, we have to go for a little ride this afternoon. I've got something to show you." You take him to the 52 Studebaker that's for sale. If he wants to buy it, that's good.
Uh-huh.
If he doesn't want to buy it, it means that his relationship to this Studebaker is not the car, but something else. Then we've got to worry. So here's what you do. Do that. Bring him to the Studebaker. If he says, "Oh, boy, great," and he buys it,
take him
your marriage is safe. If he doesn't want, if he has no interest, whatever, if he sort of looks at it and says, "Oh, yeah, that's nice," and you say, "Hun, I want to buy it for you," and he says, "Ah, no, never mind," then send him into the clinic.
Okay.
In the meantime, get yourself a poster of Tom Selleck. See you, Kathy.
Or a Miata.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Benjamin, and I'm calling from Greenville, North Carolina.
Benjamin. Can we call you Ben or Benjamin?
Benjamin, please.
Benjamin, please.
Greenfield?
Greenville,
North Carolina.
Yeah, it's in eastern North Carolina. I'm a new resident to Greenville.
And how do you like it?
It's nice. I mean, I came here to finish college, and it's a really nice college town.
Yeah, what's there?
East Carolina University.
What are you studying?
Business.
You getting an MBA or an undergraduate degree?
MBA.
MBA. Most useless degree ever.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, it's almost as good as art history. Yeah, so Benjamin, what makes you call us?
Well, about a week ago, my brother and I were hanging out late one night, and we decided it would be a good idea to do donuts at our neighbor's lawn. Well, it's actually like a lot.
Sounds like an MBA candidate to me. Donuts.
You're going to do donuts?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a 53 Chevy pickup that we decided not to use.
Yeah.
We decided to use my dad's car, which my younger brother had borrowed earlier that evening.
I see it all.
Which is a Toyota Camry.
And what, explain to our listening audience.
What doing donuts consists of.
And what great pleasure is derived from this?
It is awesome. It is an unbelievable experience. And what even makes it more unbelievable with this circumstance is that the Camry has front wheel drive, so we did donuts in reverse.
Yeah. Okay, well, explain donuts then.
Well, you just cock the steering wheel and throttle it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And hope that you're not driving a Suzuki Sidekick and flip it over.
Well, that's why we didn't take my truck.
There you go.
Oh, so you do it with front wheel drive, you do it backwards.
Well, we've never done it with backwards with front wheel drive before.
Yeah, I understand. I never have myself. Yeah, so there you go. You pull up on the neighbor's lawn.
Yeah, and for about 20 minutes, we're doing about 6,000 RPM backwards.
Yeah.
Cocking the steering wheel left, right, and I was pulling the e-brake, and it all ended when I pulled the e-brake, and we went straight back into a fence.
On somebody's lawn?
Well, it's a lot. There's not a house on it yet.
Oh, I understand.
Okay, that's good. It was an empty lot. Well, that was nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the question?
Well, as soon as we finished, the steering became very... It became hard to steer the car.
Really?
Yeah.
What a surprise.
And yeah. With the low RPM, there was really no power steering. So in idle, there was no power steering.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just wondering if maybe we could have done this to my father's car.
Oh, no. I think it was an accident. I think it was pure coincidence.
That's what I was hoping.
But it steers all right after you get over, like, 20 miles an hour or so?
Yeah. Well, no, if you put it in neutral and rev the engine, you have power steering. But if it's just idling, no power steering.
Huh.
Really?
And, yeah, and we actually had the pump replaced.
Oh.
And so what I'm wondering is what actually happened to make it go out?
Wait, you did have the pump replaced and now it's fixed?
No.
Or it's not fixed?
It's fixed, but it makes some clacking noises. I'm more interested in what actually made the pump go out and if maybe using a Toyota part would be better than using an aftermarket part.
I think what may have made the pump go out is overheating it.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, you had the wheel cranked all the way over.
Yeah.
When you're asking the pump to put out its maximum pressure, and I think you lunched it.
Yeah?
Especially, I mean, it's just a theory.
Especially if you held it like that for a long period of time.
Which we know you morons did. Donuts, huh?
So the e-brake had nothing to do with it?
No.
Just overheating it? I thought maybe pressure in the hydraulic line.
No. The e-brake is not hydraulic.
Well, not the e-brake, but in the pump itself.
You burn the pump out by making it do something that it's not designed to do. That's continuous duty, high pressure operation.
Right. I mean, you noticed even when if you're in a tight parking space and you turn the wheel all the way left or right, that it doesn't like to do that because it yells at you. And you forced it to do what it didn't want to do.
Okay, so if we didn't turn the pump, or I'm sorry, turn the steering wheel all the way over, we might have been okay.
You might have been
so
okay.
So the next time you do it.
Donuts, just don't cock it all the way over. Don't,
there you
right,
go.
And you got it.
Yeah. You may have to write a short paper on this. What was the name of this college you're going to?
East Carolina University. Do you need a recommendation or anything? We could write one for you. talking about your creativity and...
And you'll be starting the winter term there, or have you already been...
I just moved here about 5 weeks ago, so I'll be starting in January.
You'll be starting the winter term.
So they still have an opportunity to...
Close down the program.
Well, before we went to do donuts later at night, we collected various metal objects from the house and went about a mile away to the train tracks and smashed them when the train went by.
Is this brother of yours? Is he like 11?
No, he's 17.
He's 17.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. he's obviously the younger brother.
No, he's the smarter brother.
he's the one who's really in trouble with my father.
Yeah. Because
he has a history of messing up cars and doing donuts.
And you, of course, are what? Innocent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're like Eddie Haskell, man.
Well, you are
Eddie Haskell.
I think you helped get your brother in trouble. I mean, you should share the blame.
Oh, I share the blame fully, but he's the one...
Who's taking the heat, I know.
He's gotten caught doing this before. About 2 months ago, he took my dad's old car. It's a Lincoln Town car. And... drove through somebody's front lawn and didn't really think about the fact that it had been raining for 2 days. So right between a tree and these people's front door, it got stuck.
Uh-huh.
At about 3:30 in the morning.
Oh. You know what your brother needs? Maybe you too.
What?
You guys need...
Jail time?
Well, short of that, the United States Army.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys need boot camp.
Sergeant McNeely.
Yeah, he'll straighten everything
up. Oh, man. Six foot four.
Didn't work on you. Maybe it did.
How do you know?
How would we know? Anyway,
hey,
Benjamin.
Benjamin, it's been a pleasure talking to you. You're a true wacko.
And we'll be talking to the authorities at East Carolina University as soon as we get off the phone with you.
Good luck, man.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
See ya.
See, he knows he's in trouble.
He was doing donuts. Why is it called donuts anyway?
Oh, because they look like donuts.
Oh, yeah. They end up in a circle, right.
Yeah, the tracks look like donuts, right?
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You have never done a donut.
No.
You've ever eaten a donut.
Oh, yeah. Why, do I look like a policeman?
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his pre-holiday Staten Island steak stew starch and strudel stomach stretch, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal security man is Muscles Marinara. Our chief prosecutor from the Paris office is Jacques Hughes. Our plastic surgeon is Luke Young. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. I don't think so.
Why not?
All right, well, we'll try.
Yeah, try it.
Our chicken supervisor is Kent Hoyt. Our Russian chauffeur is Beekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. This is how lots of people's careers end. They get thrown off the radio, but I guess it's going to happen to us too. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Chidman Howe. Here's Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the former political consultant selling falafel in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And above all, don't drive like my brother.
And by the way, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1946, download other insomnia-curing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we'll help you clean up your driveway. Got a car that's ready for its next life? The Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and ship the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now, and next April 15th, you can tell the IRS to rave on because you got a tax deduction. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though penguins go scurrying into the mouths of killer whales whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.